in this series called Free Indeed. Turn to your neighbor and ask them a question. Are you free? And then I want you to say back to them, indeed. Indeed, indeed. I can't believe it. We are in week seven of this series. So we're getting close to the end of Galatians. We're going to be in chapter 4. And today we're going to be talking about the title of the message is Something's Different. Something's Different. I grew up in a home. Just so you know, it wasn't like a teepee or anything. It was a home. It was a house. And beautiful house. Loved growing up in this house. Very grateful for the family and the heritage that I have. But how many know every family has their own little culture? Come on. Values, norms, things that you say out loud, things that you don't say out loud. Some of us have dinner with the TV on. Some of us, that would be a sin in their house, right? We have all, sometimes you get to you have to finish your dinner. Sometimes you can just eat whatever you want. We all come from different backgrounds, things, norms in our family. In my family, one of the unspoken norms was that the men in our house, now this is not like, this is not a sin, this is not against any bells, if this is you, but in our house, the men in the house were not allowed to have earrings. Some of you were, I don't know how that hit you, but that was our house, okay? Some of you are like, why are you telling this? I'll tell you in a second. And the reason why this was a big deal, when I was about the late 90s, early 2000s, there was this movement of teenagers getting their ears pierced. And all of my cool friends got their ears pierced. And it kind of planted the seed that maybe it was time for Nate to push against the family. And I know some of you are like, oh no, where's this go, right? So maybe I should get my ears pierced. So that was kind of my thought process, right? So we go to this, it was called the Oregon Ministry Youth Network. It was the youth conference. It was at Overlake Christian Church in Redmond, Washington. It seats about 5,000 people. And it was packed. Students, I mean, they were loud. They were screaming. Toby Mac was there. It was amazing. So we're just having this great time. And I noticed one of my friends who I thought was cool, he had an earring in. And not only did he have an earring, but it was a cross earring. So I thought it was pretty cool. So I'm kind of checking it out. And as we're walking out, his earring falls out. And I pick it up off the ground and I show it to him. And I discovered his earring was magnetic. And I thought, this is my chance. This is my chance to test the waters with my family. So I asked him if I could borrow his earring. And I put it in. And we got home from the conference, and my parents, I'm not sure where they were, they didn't pick me up, but somebody dropped me off at my parents' house, and I'm coming up, I have my suitcase, and I was a backpack, and I remember vividly walking up the stairs, my palms are sweaty, my heart is beating, and I don't know if all of you have met my dad is about 2 or 3 inches taller than me right now. He's like 6'3", weighs like 240 pounds, he's a big man. And I'm, you know, 13, 14, I'm a little guy, and I'm really nervous. What's going to happen? So I got this earring in. I make sure the cross is just right. Maybe he'll be okay with it, you know. So I knock on the door. He opens it, and I kind of give him one of these. All he says is, "That's coming out," and then turns away and walks away. Didn't even get across the threshold. Something's different. Something's different. I don't know about you, but I truly believe that there should be something different about people who follow Jesus. I believe that when you follow Jesus and you allow him into your life, there should be a different spirit about you. A different joy about you, a different step about you, a different hope about you, a different lifestyle. And oftentimes, the different that you and I want looks more like the world than what God has to offer. And what we have to constantly remember, just as fake as that earring is, the imitation the world offers pales in comparison to what Christ has to offer for you today. And it's being free indeed. In chapter 4 of Galatians, God wants you and I to hear through the writings of the Apostle Paul that freedom is found in Jesus Christ. The battle in this passage, it's such an interesting thing for us to go back to because many people don't understand it, but I think we all have things we want to go back to that we think will bring our freedom. If it was just like the way it was. In this context, do you want to know what it was? It was the law. The Judaizers, these are religious leaders, they came against this church of Galatia and the Galatians, this region. And Paul had led all these people to Christ and the gospel's moving, and it's by faith alone in Christ alone for salvation. Do we all understand that? Let's repeat that after me. Say, faith alone in Christ alone for salvation. That's what Paul's teaching. Nothing else will save you. Faith alone in Christ alone, that's salvation. But they show up and they say, no. It's not just that. You have to practice the law. And so Paul is writing this letter, and as you read through it, and it's interesting, it's actually meant to be read one continuous thought, is that Christ has set you free, but you keep going backwards. And this reminds me, the big idea, if you're taking notes, you can write this down, is that freedom is a gift from God, but a fight to keep it. There's something different about you, and the enemy knows it. Many people walk through life on their blessed assurance, forgetting what Ephesians says, that you have a battle to fight. You're to occupy until he comes. Yes, I'm excited. Jesus is coming soon. Anybody else excited about Jesus to come soon? But you and I, come on, let's clap. Jesus is coming. But you and I have a battle to fight. There are souls to be won. There are people who are bound that don't have freedom. And I hate to say it, there are Christians who think they're free, but they are bound because they're thinking something else matters more than the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross in their lives. And I want to encourage you today, if there's anything else that I can say, I want you to hear this. The best thing that you can do is allow Jesus to transform your heart one more time every single morning. Amen. Allow him to change your life. Allow him to transform you. Why? Because it's really easy to go back to what we used to do. What we used to know. Our comforts, our patterns, our desires. We think what was is what will change our lives. But the truth is, it's Jesus. Yesterday, the same, today, and forever. It was about him, and it's always about him. And Paul is reminding us through this letter, shouting, almost demanding, stop looking for other things to satisfy your soul. Man, church, if I can have any message that I think the church needs to hear today is stop looking for other things to satisfy your soul. Some people, man, we see it all over. They are looking for, they're more excited about football starting than Jesus returning. We have literally a fight on our hands. And as a church, I want to call you to prayer. I want to call you to the joy of the Lord. I want to tell you that there is nothing greater than Jesus Christ. And Paul wants you to know that your freedom, being free indeed, is found in nothing else but Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to go to Galatians chapter 4. Paul is writing this letter, and we're going to go back to Galatians 3. This is what we finished last week. The reason is it's one continuous thought. I want you to catch up with me. It says this, that there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. Somebody say something's different. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you, church. Something's different. Now we get to the next verse. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, the heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also when you were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave. Something's different. But God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Come on, somebody. Isn't that good news? You are no longer, come on, you're no longer a slave. You're free. God has called you into sonship and also to be daughters of the King. That's who God's called us to be. Today, I want to talk to you about three words that's going to go out through the rest of this passage, and I want to help you remember them. When I used to take tests, anybody love taking tests in school? Don't worry, there's no test after this, but I want to help you remember this. And so the acronym for today is MIT. Say MIT. MIT. Yeah, you know me. No, I won't rap. Okay. MIT. The M stands for maturity. Say maturity. Every single person in this room is on a growth curve towards maturity. The biblical word, the theological word is sanctification. If you think you're finished, you're not breathing. Because until Jesus comes back, God is still in work in our hearts. He's still transforming our minds. He's still helping us grow up to be made mature and complete, not lacking anything. That is a lifelong pursuit to be more like Jesus. That's why we say our three values are love God, present hope, and develop people. Nobody, if you're looking at me and you're smiling, I'm hoping you are, and you're wide awake and you're fresh and you're taking notes and the glow of your iPad is beautiful, I can see your face, you're looking great. God's not done with you. You are growing. You are called to mature. Mature. I want to show you a picture of somebody. I don't know if you know who this is. This is a young man. He's got great teeth, great hair. He's a little guy, and many of you may not know who that is, but today this person has matured into The Rock. Go back to that previous picture real quick, just for fun. Now go back to The Rock. Just so you know, something's different with The Rock. Something's different with you. Something's different with me. What Paul wants you and I to know is that you will not mature if you think the law is going to mature you. Here's the question. Why do you think relying on the law will make you mature? You see, it's really easy to look back at this passage and think, man, they really made mistakes. They were just going back to law. Why would they do that? But how often do you and I rely on the past to mature where we are today? In other words, people will say, have you ever done this? Or have you ever given something away? Have you ever worked hard in your life? And you say, oh man, I used to go to school uphill both ways in the snow, barefoot. I know what hard work is. Come on, somebody. Anybody ever tell a story where it was way better, way harder back then? But I want to encourage somebody today. God has something for you today. And the maturity in your life does not happen by following the law. It happens by allowing Jesus, through the Spirit of God, access to your heart. It's an inside-out job. It's transformation. That's what it looks like. But you and I, we all come to God the same way. Paul's saying you come to him as an infant, as a child, or better yet, or worse yet, slaves. You are bound by the law. Jesus set you free. And I want to teach you two Greek words. I hope you like Greek because the Bible, the New Testament was written in Greek. In verse 1 of chapter 4, the word he used for child is nepos. Say nepos. Nepos is like an infant or a baby. But then as you get to verse 6, he changes the same word for the child to a different word that's huio, and that word is a mature son. So here's what Paul's trying to get you to say, to get us to understand, that when Christ is in you, there is an automatic beginning of you moving towards maturity and sonship. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to happen. You have to partner with him. But there is a cell phone. Don't worry about it. Well, maybe you could answer it or silence it, or we could enjoy it. Either way, it's all good. But here, I want you to hear this. Can you hear me now? Just kidding. But I want you to hear this. And so many people fall prey to this. They treat accepting Jesus and getting baptized as the finish line, not as the starting point. God has so much more for you. So much more intimacy, so much more closeness. Why would you stop there when all the riches and glory is waiting for you? And if you're here this morning and you're feeling like, man, I feel the weight and the shame of my past, I have good news for you. Christ loves you as you are, and too much to leave you as you are. He wants you to grow. He wants you to mature. He wants you to develop. He wants you to be way stronger spiritually than the rock ever looks. You are called to grow and develop. And my question for you is, when was the last time you stepped out in faith and trusted God, believed God for something bigger than you can provide for on your own? That's how we mature. It's not by staying comfortable, but by stepping out. And the law, most people, I for some reason we miss this, the law is actually easier than allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you. Did you know that? Somebody's like, I'm not sure. Well, let me prove it to you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, this is what Jesus says about the law. He says, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. But Lord, it's a political season. Have you not seen what's been happening? Come on, somebody. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Okay, seriously, when was the last time we did that? Hello? And that way you'll be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is that for you? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you, okay, this is the part of the Bible I'm like, Lord, are you sure you want us to do this? Is this possible? But you are to be what? Try hard. Be nice. Drive a cool car. No, what does it say? You are to be perfect. What? Even as your Father is heaven is what? Perfect. Okay, the law standard was like around here. Jesus' standard is way up here. Anybody else with me on that? The standard is way higher. So this is where you and I have to come back to the realization that it is faith alone in Christ alone that transforms my heart, and I begin the journey of maturity, of being like Jesus one day at a time. One of my favorite songs right now is Every Day a Little More Like Jesus. I'm not perfect, but I'm going to be a little bit more like Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and make me more like Jesus. Fill me with your presence, because here's the truth. I know I miss it. I know I've made a mistake, but Christ is in me. He set me free. Something's different about me. and I'm on my way of maturity. That's why being a follower of Jesus is never boring. So next time you have an enemy, I want you to walk up and say, I love you. Oh, like, oh, Pastor Nate, are you sure? Next time you're on social media, I want you to find out what other opposite politics you have. Uh-oh. And I dare you to say, I love you. Somebody like, nope, not doing. Okay, maybe you can just go in your prayer closet then. All right, there we go. We got some amens on that one. Isn't it hard? The standard that God puts out is way different than the world. What does the world say? Get in your echo chamber and have people talk about bad other people all over there and just stay over here. But what does God say? Love your enemy. Do good to those who despitefully use you. Pray for them. That's a different life, isn't it? But here's the thing. Isn't it true if you do that, aren't you free from their criticism? The freedom you're looking for is found in loving your enemies. It's found in praying for those who are against you. So sometimes I talk to people and they're like, man, I need you to pray for my family. They don't believe God. They're not trusting God. There's friction. There's fighting. Oh my goodness. Let's read Matthew 5 together. Love those who hate you. Bless them. Pray for them. And anybody in here, I could tell by the wiggling in this room, everyone's like, I don't know. That's what leads to the second thing. We have to be closer to Jesus than ever before if that's going to be possible. Yeah. The word's intimacy. I love this definition of intimacy. Intimacy means into me I see. Intimacy is when I take off the mask, the guard, the facade, and I let you see who I really am. I'll never forget going to Starbucks. It was early in the morning, and I saw a couple that goes to our church, and the lady, poor thing, she looked at me and says, oh, Pastor, you see me? My hair's not done. And I said, don't worry, mine's not done either. You see, we all have this level of don't get too close. Don't see me for who I really am. Why? Why do we say that? Because we're afraid to be that transparent. Because if you knew the flaws, maybe you wouldn't want to be close to me anymore. But Paul takes care of that in such a powerful way. Because that same response people have, they treat God that way because they're afraid that they'll be punished and destroyed. But Jesus already paid that price for you. So it changes the game. Look what verse 6 says. Because you are his sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father! Abba means daddy. Now, the faith builders, which, by the way, that class is rocking. I stopped by there this morning. Where are my faith builders at? Let's hear somebody. All right, there you go. This is so perfect. They're doing a study right now on the awe of God. Proverbs teaches us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Did you know that you can have the fear of God and call him daddy at the same time? Both can be true at the exact same time. But the problem is so many people have had bad experiences with adult male figures and authority figures that they can't get past the fact that God wants to be their dad. And so when Paul says that actually you have a heavenly Father who loves you, and if you are in sin, if you are broken, if you are lost, if you are hurting, you don't have to run from God, you can run to God. How do you know if you're close, if you're intimate with the Father? It's what you did when you, what you do when you screw up. What did Adam and Eve do? They hid in shame, didn't they? One of the greatest pictures of God is in Luke, when as soon as the prodigal son comes home, what does the father do? He runs. He runs and he wraps his arms around his son. He's been looking for him. If you're here this morning and you have a picture of God who is far away, who's distant, who's lost, who doesn't want to be with you, I'm telling you, you've got the wrong God. You've got the wrong God. He says, you can call me daddy. You can call me father. In the first service, I did this with Tate, but this we're going to do this a little different. He doesn't know this is happening. Where's Titus? Where are you at, buddy? Will you run up here for me? Would you give it up for Titus? I want you to watch him as he comes up here. Come on up, bud. I want you to give me a big hug. Man, are you taller than me? Oh, my goodness. I love you. How old are you?
13.
13 years old. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Were you afraid to come up and give me a hug?
No.
Have you ever been afraid to give me a hug?
No.
No. Why?
Because you love me.
That's right. And someday you'll be able to beat me up soon. Love you. You go and sit down. Give it up for Titus. I hope that you see that's how you should approach God. Titus has no fear because he knows even when he makes mistakes, and we've talked about that because he does make mistakes, he comes to us and he talks to us. And I say, go talk to your mom. She's got all the answers. But we have a God who sees us, who loves us. And for some of us here, to think that you could be intimately known and known by God scares us. Why? Because we live in a broken and fallen world. It says that the sun shines on the just and the unjust. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. You and I have been through life. And pain happens, disappointment happens, and sometimes things happen to you and to me, and you can't explain it, and it makes you think, God, where are you? Are you good? Can I trust you? Why is this happening in my life? Where are you, God? Have you ever been there? There's a man named Hal Donaldson. I don't know if you guys know who that is. Have you ever heard of Convoy of Hope? Who's heard of Convoy of Hope? It's a group of amazing people. Hal Donaldson started this company that literally feed over 400 million people every single day. It's a non-for-profit. You'll see their little logo all at the, they were at the Super Bowl. They had a commercial. I mean, they are doing amazing things for God. They're literally trying to feed the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amazing, amazing. Hal Donaldson started that company out of the back of his truck. Just sharing food and building one day at a time. But what most people don't know, when he was 12 years old, he was supposed to be at home with a babysitter with his three other siblings, four kids, but the babysitter didn't show up on time. So his parents were supposed to go away for a night away together, and their vacation looked like it was going to be ruined. So they all got in the car and went to drive away. Well, as they're leaving and they're about out of the neighborhood, the babysitter comes flying in, going way too fast, and pulls right into their driveway, and they see her, so they pull a U-turn, come back right inside, and they get to stay with the babysitter and don't have to go away, and mom and dad got a free weekend, right? About an hour and a half later, there's a knock at the door. Hal, 12 years old, goes and answers the door, and it's a police officer. And he says, are you one of the Donaldson's family? And he said, yeah, I'm the oldest. And he says, I'm sorry to tell you this, but your parents were hit by a drunk driver and your dad has died on the scene. Your mom is in critical care and she's in the hospital right now. From an hour and a half earlier, having a dad and a family intact to completely broken. As he looks at the officer, he doesn't know what to do. He just starts crying. Family comes around him. They go in and grab the neighbors and friends, and the police officer says, is there anybody that can take these kids just for a couple days, because they're going to have to go to the police station, might be separated to foster care. I'm not sure what's going to happen. And one man and his wife decide to take him and take all the kids. They have not a lot of money. They have a trailer with kids of their own. And they say, you can live with us. And they live with them for over a year because the mom's injuries were so bad that she had to recover in the hospital. When she got out of the hospital, they lived with her for even a few months afterwards. A family of 10, no money, no hope, no insurance, nothing. And he's faced with this challenge. Is God good? A God who would take away my dad? How can God be good? You see, it's really easy to say amen in church, but when life hits you and you're at home and you're all by yourself and you're staring at a floor and a carpet and it's dirty, it's not even your house, and you're saying, God, how could you be good? And as he's sitting there in a puddle of tears, the man of the house grabbed him by the arm and said, hey, let's go for a walk. And he looked at him, he said, I want you to know this, no matter what happens, I love you and I will be here to help you. And Hal broke down and started crying and hugged him. He said that conversation changed his life. And he said it was the compassion of one man that revealed the love of God. And from that moment forward, I could treat God as my father again. What we don't realize, church, look at me. Something's different about you. When you show compassion to people, that's the love of God. When we go to Robert Gray this Saturday, and we just start doing weeds, pulling weeds, my favorite job, by the way, in the world. If you think that's true, I'll pray for you. We're doing that out of the love of God. Because we're believing the world needs to see a different church. Something must be different in us. Something must be different. We don't do that to get accolades or money. We do it because we want to show the love of God. And Hal's life was forever changed. And now there are millions of people that are getting food because one man had an encounter with his Heavenly Father. He intimately knows God. How are you doing with your intimacy with your Heavenly Father? Are you approaching him the way you should? Because what Paul is revealing to us, if you don't know Jesus, if you're not close to him, if you're relying on the law or anything else, the different that you're looking for isn't the right different. So what does Paul do? He does something that you and I have to face, and that's not always easy. You know what he says? He tells them the truth. Remember that quote? You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. He gives them the truth. And I want you to look at verse 16. This is what he says. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Isn't that the risk that you and I face every day? If I tell you the truth, if I'm really that honest with you, are you just going to walk away with me? Walk away from me. I know as a pastor, that is one of the hardest things I face on a Sunday morning and during the week and even on Saturdays. Is I'll get a call from somebody and they'll say, hey, Pastor Nate, I was thinking, and I hold my breath. What were you thinking? You should do this, you should do that, you should do this, you should do that. And I'm always thinking, do I tell them the truth or do I smile through the phone? And I know you and I, you have the same tension, don't you? I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want to make a mistake. Can you handle it? But Paul says something so profound. And if you read through the whole passage, he says, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? You see, Jesus' standard is so high. He says, we don't just tell the truth, but we tell the truth in what? In love. And if you read through this, we don't have time the rest of the day. If you read through this passage, you can feel his love and his heart is broken because he tells the truth so that they will be set free. Some of us need here to recognize we don't tell the truth to feel good about ourselves. It's for the hope that they will be set free. Truth is a challenging thing today, isn't it? If I could have the worship team go ahead and come up. Isn't truth hard? Well, it's actually not, but it feels like it in our culture. Why? Because everything is supposed to be relative to your experience. There was a little boy. He was playing baseball in the backyard, and you could hear him audibly. He would toss the ball up all by himself, and he would say this every time, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." He threw the ball up, took a swing, missed it. Ball hits the ground. He goes down, picks it up. "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." He threw it up, swung again, missed it, hits the ground. Oh, man, two strikes. Does it again, throws it up. "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." Swings, misses it, three strikes. You know what he said? "I'm the greatest pitcher in the world." As funny and true as that story is for many people, the problem is so many people can't handle the truth of Jesus Christ. The truth of Jesus Christ is this. All of the striving, all the effort, all the work will never set you free. But what sets you free is this, John 8:32, "And you will know the truth," and the truth will what? Do you know Jesus? Do you know him as your dad? Do you know the love of the Father, where when you are hurting and you're lost and you're broken, you run into his arms and you cry and you weep and you allow him to minister to your soul? On your highest highs, do you give him praise? When you've won the game, when you've got that promotion, when you and your spouse are connecting and everything is amazing, do you say, "God, I lift you up and I praise you because you're my dad. The good, the bad, everything in between, you're with me." Are you intimately connected with your Father this morning? Because he wants to mature you, he wants to be close to you, and he wants you to walk in the truth. Why? Because if you know the truth, and his name is Jesus, he'll set you free. If I could have you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. You may be here this morning and you're listening today. And the truth is, you are distant from God. Today's your day to come back to him. Today's your day to come back to God. Just like the prodigal son who ran back to his dad, God is ready to run to you and wrap his loving arms around you. Stop looking for the past. Stop looking to the law. Stop looking to all the things that you're looking to. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. If you're here this morning and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you just slip up your hand right where you are? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. You want to make him your Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. I see that hand. That's amazing. So good. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? That's amazing. Praise God. Ready to come home to God. Thank you. You can put your hand down. If I could have the whole church repeat after me and online, put your coffee down. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I run to you, the author and finisher of my faith. I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. I love you. I worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let's clap for the person who found Christ today. Come on. All of heaven rejoices. Come on. If I could have you stand with me, church, we're going to close with this song. And I want to ask you to worship Jesus in a way that maybe it might be different for you, might be new. But I want to ask you just a personal question. Have you connected with your Father? I want you to close your eyes and I want you just to sing as if he's the only one in the room, as if it's just you and him. I want you to talk to him. He loves you. He wants to have a relationship with you that will change your life. Something's going to be different after you worship him. You were made to worship. Stop worshiping false things. Stop worshiping other things. Worship the one true God. He will meet every need in your life. He will fulfill every dream. He will open your eyes. Everything you're looking for is found in Him.
Hello, my name is Pastor John, and I'm the online campus pastor here at Portland Christian Center. I wanted to first of all thank you for listening to this message, and our prayer is that what you heard today has inspired something within you on your journey to discover more of who God is. I do want to give one more opportunity to accept Christ, so if you're listening today and want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, then please pray this with me. Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer to accept Christ, congratulations. We at Portland Christian Center call that decision your best yes, and we are here to help you walk forward in your faith journey. So whether you receive Christ today or are curious more about Portland Christian Center and what's happening here, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. That's pcctoday.com.